Yes, sir.
My name is Nuiki Nunes, and I'm the acting board chairman this afternoon for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. How are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty well, sir. Good evening to all of you.
Thank you. Our panel chairman is going to be David Neal, and we'll get started shortly. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, too, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you, too, sir.
Okay, thank you. We've been having some difficulties this week. So, would you state your full name? Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Manuel Soto, Manuel Soto, 03665.
Thank you, sir. We're putting before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency in regards to a request for parole. I'm going to read some information, background information, and if you hear something that's incorrect, let me know. But I'll check with you every so often to see if it sounds like it's correct, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're approximately 64 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're serving a life sentence for murder. The sentence began on January 19, 1976, when you were approximately 23 years old. You became eligible for parole on January 18, 2001, and you were certified for today's hearing on February 1st, 2018. The certification was for a regular parole, unrest, gradual discharge. You've been before the board 24 times total. You were granted home arrest on May 24, 2004. Then granted regular parole on November 8, 2004. Then on June 30th, 2006, your parole was revoked for use of cocaine. Does that sound correct so far, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Then on January 29, 2007, you were granted regular parole. That parole was also revoked on October 29, 2009. You had tested positive for heroin on June 27, 2009. And then after a staffing, you failed to lose the urine sample on July 7, 2009. And that's what ultimately resulted in your violation of revocation. And then you were again granted a parole on April 9th, 2012, but on May 6th, 2013, your parole was revoked yet another time for the use of alcohol. And you have been denied any type of release at all other hearings. Does that correct that point, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then, one time you denied any alcohol use and claimed there was no documentation for the allegation. However, there is a task report dated February 15, 2013, that shows a positive result for alcohol for the sample collected from Mr. Soto on February 14, 2013. So that was in regard to your last revocation. So, now your discipline record is moderate, with mostly drugs and disobeying type violations. There was a ticket for rioting in 1985, but your last major was June 14th of 06, which was for disobeying. Then there were no more tickets until 2014, when there was one minor for obstructing, and then you haven't had no tickets since then. That sound pretty close, sir? So far?
I remember the one
2014,
sir.
Okay, well, it was a minor, and the way our printout is for names, it just said obstructing, and I don't know what you were obstructing, but it was a minor. And you haven't had any since then, which is very commendable.
Thank you.
Also, we have very little programming, but we completed four classes in 2017 and one in 2016, so very recently. We started a program in 2017 for conflict resolution, however, it doesn't show a completion date yet on our paperwork. And then, in 2004, you completed the substance abuse program. And your release plan is simply to rely on family support if released. And you're actively seeking a halfway house for residents, but I show nothing in regards to an acceptance. Also, we have no letters of support or anyone in the gallery, and we also have no letters of opposition or no one in the gallery for opposition. So up to this point, sir, does that all sound pretty correct, pretty accurate?
Yes, can I say something?
Well, you'll have a chance to tell us pretty much everything you want to know.
Sorry, sir, okay.
Okay, yeah, you have an opportunity to tell us what you want. Okay, so this is just going to be a very, very brief synopsis of the reason that you are in prison. And as you go on probation for a second-degree rape charge, and according to the reports and what went on in court, you apparently planned an armed robbery and enlisted the help of others to carry out the offense. Due to the assault on the barman, during the offense, the manager died of a heart attack, apparently. Mr. Soto was convicted by a jury for three murder, armed robbery, and burglary, and the sentences for armed robbery and burglary have expired. So that was the basics of it. So, sir, I never had a chance to speak with you before and get to know you. I'm not sure if my colleagues have to look at the date you were last here. Okay, well anyway, so why don't you tell us what was going on in your life back then? You seem to have done involved with a lot of violent stuff all at the same time in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, I was young, sir, and what happened, I got caught up with some person that it was not truthful with his testimony, and I had evidence, I had co-defendants that did not testify in my trial, they could have helped me out. It was two brothers, one was named Albert Williams, and another was named Willie Williams. Albert Williams was proven insane by the court, he couldn't testify for me. And he could have helped me out a lot, sir. Me and him, we lived that crime before it happened because we were told by his brother Willie Williams to leave, sir. And at my trial, Chubby Reed, the state witness. He testified that I stood outside on the corner and Albert Williams stood on the corner and Mr. Williams outside the door, sir. And while he was committing the robbery that Mr. Munguia, the victim, he fell down and he was attending, like he got scared, attended to him. And he completed the robbery, he did what he did, and he came out and he ran, and he said that we ran with him too. But Mr. Williams told me not to service from him, service to go to trial with him, because he won't get acquitted and give me acquitted with testimony, sir, because he was a real young man in front of the door, and he told me, and his brother, we offered to leave, sir, and we parted that time, sir. And but see, like Mr. Williams was outside the door, and Mr. Williams was outside the door and seen the crime, sir. He told me in jail, sir, that they saw Mr. Kevin Reed dragging the victim, Mr. McGee, out of the bar, sir. Well, this man lied, sir. I didn't stand no corner. And Mr. Williams told me that separate, and I told my lawyer, please don't separate me from this trial, because Mr. Williams said I get acquitted with his testimony. But the lawyer did not do what I told him to do, sir. I was young, and he just did it to me. He separated me and took me to trial, and I got convicted. That's why I'm here today, sir. And I don't think this is right, this man doing this to me, sir. I was young, I didn't understand the law, and I was only one convicted. I'm the only one right here today, sir. And the truth was that me and Albert, Mr. Williams, brother told us me to leave, sir. We fought this crime, sir, before it happened, sir. And I did not stand no corner for Mr. Albert Williams. And Mr. Williams saw Mr. Kevin Reed dragging this man all the way out of this bar, sir. And this man's testimony is not true, sir. This I got convicted, sir.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, I don't. To this day, I don't feel comfortable. And I'm 64 years old, and I had an attorney that I told did not do what I told him to do, and he still did it, sir. And I don't know, sir.
Hasn't your conviction been appealed?
Yes, sir. But
okay, right. Okay.
See,
okay.
Sir. He did not tell me at all, sir.
Sir. Okay.
Sir. I see these things, and here I am.
Mr. Soto. Okay. Thank you. We are not a court of law. We have no jurisdiction over your claims that are perjured by the other co-defendant. We have no jurisdiction over your claims that you were not adequately defended. That's all court matters that we have nothing to do with. We're concerned about you and your involvement. Now, you said that you helped plan the robbery?
No, sir. I said that I left the robbery, sir, because I was told by Mr. Williams, Albert Williams' brother, to leave because Mr. Williams is in the robbery, sir.
Okay, sir.
You're not going to use my brother?
Sir? Mr. Soto. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You keep going on and on, and we don't have enough. We can't understand everything that you're saying. So you say you were told to leave the robbery, so you were part of the initial robbery? And then...
No, sir.
I'm not understanding that. So, but you're saying that you have no involvement in this robbery? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, sir.
Okay. All right. If you have issues about the testimony of your co-defendants or anybody else in the trial or any of that or your attorney, you're going to have to take that up with the court of law, not us, okay? So we're just concerned with you, with your behavior before prison and in prison, and at this point in time, whether or not there's any possibility we would allow you out on some type of release. Okay, so the crime occurred, and you at least had some knowledge it was going to happen, and that's enough under Arizona state law to be convicted of first-degree murder if anybody is killed during the commission of a crime. And the victim had bad heart, the trauma of the assault caused blood to settle in around his heart. and the next day, I guess it was, that he expired because his heart wouldn't take it. So that's considered murder because of the way it was. And if you had any part in the crime, any whatsoever, or just knowledge of it, and didn't give that knowledge to the police or the authorities, then under Arizona state law, you could be convicted of first-degree murder. Just like if you pulled the trigger on somebody and killed them in there, you can still be convicted of that. And that's apparently what happened to you. It does say in our paperwork that it appeared that between everybody's statements and what happened in court, it looks like really convicted is because the jury felt that you were the mastermind, so to speak, that you planned it, that you would help with that. So let's go beyond that. You were young, you were getting a lot of drinking, you were getting a lot of trouble. What's, other than the fact you've gotten older, what's changed about you that would make you a good candidate to be released into society?
I'm not doing any drugs, sir. I'm drug free. I'm not drinking, sir. I programmed it here. I programmed it to speak. And I just want to get back to my family. My mom has passed away. My aunt. Are old, have not had a chance to spend time with them. Right now, I don't have no good support from my brothers and sisters. They turned on me, and I would like to ask if I could be sent to a Tucson pre-entry center. I get SSI, and I got family over here in in Mesa, Mesa and Avondale, my mom's family, and I'm pretty sure if I get a hold of them, they would help me, sir. And I promise I will not come back, sir. I'm not drinking. I'm too old. I made mistakes in the past, but I will stay out there, sir. I mean, that's been time my family, Father. I've been gone so long, and I miss it. I miss my mom. She's gone. And my aunts are older. I don't know if they're still alive. And I got one younger. And her name is Chima. And I like to spend some time with them. So I got credits too. And I just they'll help me out. And I got to work. I'll work. Sir. I just want to do right, sir.
Well, sir.
And also, I want to just. I need counseling. I need stress management and anger management, sir. Right now, it's terrible in here. And it's happening, sir. Do you know me?
I want to
get back to reality, the world, sir.
Well, sir.
It would be nice.
It seems that I'm sure you haven't changed your position much, but it seems that since 2004, you actually ran to home arrest and did away with both from home arrest, and then that was revoked. You had two other paroles that were revoked two for drugs and one for alcohol, and in the 9-year period, you had three revocations. And it's been about 4 years since four or 5 years since your last revocation. Wanting to see your family and those kind of things, that doesn't tell us why we can trust you to go back out into the community. With your record, it seems like pretty much you just don't get along with parole. You go out, you spend a year, maybe two, and then you do something that you know you're not supposed to do and get caught for it. And you get put back in. You spend a little time in there, and then the board decides to try you again, and the third time. Three times that you violated the trust of the board, I haven't heard anything that you said that would convince me that you're not going to do it a fourth time. So can you tell me what what you can, you know, what about you is so much different that you won't do it a fourth time, that you won't relapse a fourth time.
Well, sir, I wanna get up there. I go to Pantera in Tucson. I wanna talk to him. I wanna get good counseling, sir. I wanna need somebody to talk to me and I mean, guide me, sir. You know what I mean? I don't wanna. There's alcohol in here and drugs, and I'm staying away from it. I don't want it, sir. That's my downfall, and I regret it very much, sir. I mean, I wish I would have my first release. I should have done it for my mother, sir. I mean, and it hurt me a lot, sir.
Okay.
But she didn't tell me that she was sick, sir, with cancer, and. It's been a real journey for me, sir. You know, I'm not a bad person. It's just I've had a lot of bad luck, sir. And you know, it's terrible. And I wanna show you people what I can do now. I mean.
Okay, sir.
I wish I could get this opportunity, sir. Yes, you have, sir, because...
Okay, sir, you keep saying you want to do, but you haven't told us anything that you have done. Can't you get any kind of counseling while you're in there? I always thought there was some little health issues or help that you could receive while you're incarcerated.
And you, sir, you asked, I've asked, and they don't let me know nothing, sir.
Well, I mean, we talked to a lot of inmates that get mental health, and we talked to a lot of inmates that get mental health counseling and everything else like that. So, I'm just seeing if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Soto?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question. You were granted home arrest or parole three times in the past, correct?
Yes, sir.
When you were first granted home arrest some years back, were you telling the board that you were innocent of the crime then? Have you been saying that the entire time since 1976 or whatever this was? Have you been saying that you're innocent this whole time?
No, I've been to it. And I'm going to enter today, today, sir. It helps me to get out of here.
Well, sir, I'm certainly not asking you to admit to something you didn't do. That's not where I'm going with this, and we're not here to retry you. I'm just putting in context that if the board saw fit to release you on an earlier date, chances are, because I don't know, it's the board, but there were different board members at that time. Chances are, they thought that you had arrived at a place that you were in rehabilitation where you could be safely returned to the community and that you were accountable for your actions. And what seems to have happened is that you were released on home arrest, and I think, as my colleague said, graduated to parole, and then you were revoked for using cocaine, which, by the way, is an expensive drug. So that raises the question as to what you're doing to fund the use of cocaine. So I'll ask you again, since 1976 till now, have you been saying the entire time that you're innocent of this crime?
I've been because they were But McCoy Bennett, he was acquitted, sir. He told me that.
Did you tell all past boards that you were innocent?
Pardon me?
Did you tell all past boards that you faced that you were innocent?
I can't recall, sir. I'm not trying to.
I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Soto. Mr. Johnson?
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Soto, we're nearing the end of your hearing at this time. Soon, the board will have a discussion to make a determination whether to grant you parole almost or out of discharge. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Now, in your final statement, we ask that you don't repeat yourself, don't give us the information that you've already given us three or four times. Just anything new that you think we might be able to consider when we make the decision. So, it's your opportunity now, sir.
Can I speak now?
Yes.
I know you've been here three times, and I'm very sorry for coming back. I've had a drug problem all my life, and he told me I was never getting out of here. And I don't know, so I wish things were better for me, but they haven't been. And I really regret very much for coming back here. I wish I would have accomplished this, and I can accomplish it. And I don't know, it's just I'm trapped right now, but between these three violations and not being clean, and I don't know what's going to happen with me. I'm 64 years old, and I know I can do better. I'm drug-free, alcohol-free, and I know my family's out there waiting for me, and I want to see them and be with them and just get this away from me, sir. And I don't know, I wish I had the words to speak to say what I feel inside of me. Terrible, sir.
Oh,
dummy, it's
okay.
Just, you know, I just hope that I get this last chance, and I want to, you know, like I say, I would like to go to Tucson.
Okay, you should redeem yourself, sir.
I know, I'm sorry. Just, I wish I had an attorney, somebody to help me, sir. I ain't nobody, sir. I'm just by myself. It's pretty rough, sir.
Okay. All right, sir.
I just hope I can give them this last chance to this office. Thank you very much, and God bless you all, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's going to go in the session. We ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent. Under the open meeting laws of Arizona, we operate that way, so anybody is allowed to hear any discussion we have. So just we have to remain silent, and I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes after we make a decision, sir. Okay?
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Well, this is one I don't have a whole lot of problem figuring out which way I want to go with Victor. Just nothing else considered but the fact that he has been granted parole three different times over the last 15, 13, 14 years, and he's been revoked on all three of them. I have a real difficult time considering him for any kind of relief. I just don't see the trust building there. If he had behaved himself on his first release, he'd been able to spend a lot of time with his family. And he, you know, keeps talking about how terrible it is in prison, but prison is not supposed to be all fun and games. It's meant to be harsh, but I don't see him as a candidate for any type of release at this time. But I'm going to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members. Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I don't. It's not my intention to be cold. I look at each of these cases, and I have to stop sometimes and consider the history of the individual, what's going on in their head, all those environmental factors. But at the end of the day, he's just not striking me as someone who's accountable for his actions and someone who portrays himself as a victim considering the body of his criminal history. So I do not find him a suitable candidate for parole. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Downs?
I agree.
Thank you. Okay, well, based on all of the testimony and information that we have today and our discussion, I'm going to move to deny Mr. Soto general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. And
we have no sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I was just saying we have no sound mechanism.
So I'll go ahead and list the reasons before I complete the motion. It was serious and violent offense. It was loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, violated previous parole, history continued with substance abuse, history of assaulting behavior, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior because he has done drugs and that sort of stuff in prison, history of assaulting behavior, lack of programming, poor release plan at this time, and an obvious family or community support system. Anything else that
No, sir.
Okay, so that is my motion.
Second. Agree.
Okay, Mr. Soto, the board has voted to deny you parole, home arrest, or actual discharge at this time. There are opportunities while you're incarcerated to get some mental health counseling. There are probably some classes for anger management you may be able to find. So we wish you luck, and you should be certified in roughly 6 months to come back before the board, and we'll see how you're progressing by that time. Okay, sir?
Sir, I can't get no
confidence
here, sir.
Okay, sir, that's something you need to take up with your CO3. Okay?
Pardon?
We can't do anything about when and how you get that counseling, that mental health treatment that's in there, but it is available within the Department of Corrections, so you need to discuss it with your CO3. So your hearing is over at this time. Would you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day, okay? Thank you.